Kamal once again to Dual World in episode 83, after taking a week off. We're back with fun-filled excitement and news. Joining us this week, we have Chad.
I am so rejuvenated.
You actually sound energetic for once, so are you drinking?
I know, I was practicing for a while. I wanted to get it just right.
You're trying to become like Dexter, where you force yourself to show emotion?
Don't say trying to become like Dexter, because there's connotations there.
But you are denying it.
I'll deny it now. Denial.
We have Martin.
Hi.
And we dug him up for this week. We have Daniel.
Yes, the rumors are true. I am back. I don't know whether I'll be back regularly, because I still haven't got my sort of schedule nailed down. I'll have to let you know. Sometime next week I'll let you know. But I'm not completely unavailable now.
Fair enough. And there's not a lot of news to talk about there, but there's a lot of games to talk about. We're about to hit that rush. Daniel's played a lot at Eurogamer. He's played
a lot.
But I want to start here because I think it's out this week. It's the big story. It's a demo out. Resident Evil 6.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 6. I made you play the demo.
Well, I wanted to play the demo, but you did force me to play it before this podcast so that I can talk about it. And I'm going to open the floor to you first.
What should I say? How should I put my feelings after I've played this demo?
It's shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
absolutely garbage, I think.
I wouldn't say absolutely. I would say it's two-thirds.
Okay. We could say two-thirds of shit and one part is mediocre.
So it's a 7 out of 10, then.
It's only two-thirds of the way shit.
Well, okay. Just to break it down, the demo in the game is broken down into three distinct campaigns. Usually when people say that, I'm thinking, like, it's just going to be different characters. Like, it's three different games.
Yeah.
I can see that going terribly wrong.
Oh, and it does. It does. Especially during that...
We're getting to it. Don't worry.
The first section, and I think it's the section most people probably want the game to be like, is the Leon section, which is kind of like Resident Evil 5. You're fighting zombies, I want to say?
It is zombies, again.
Really. Okay, I was just... And this is a minor thing, especially when you're fighting zombies and a virus. Why do they dissolve?
I don't know. They never did that before.
Because you've got to realize that this is a game on a console, on the hardware that is like 6 years old.
But, this is the same system that had Resident Evil 5. They think that
what you're doing is you're questioning continuity in Resident Evil.
I'm not even questioning continuity. I'm just wondering, like, why they dissolve. Like, there's no reason why you should dissolve from being shot. I mean, it's not like you shoot an ass.
Yeah.
But you're questioning, like, something that would have to be explained by story.
But I'm wondering if they explain it. Maybe there's something...
Maybe they do.
But like, I'm playing this game, and the first thing that stuck out to me is like, why are these? Like, it's not just that it dissolves, but it's like it makes you know it dissolves because it makes this sound effect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they get all fluid-like, and sometimes the head pops off.
So like you kill them, they drop dead, and the corpse dissolves.
Sometimes they just stand and dissolve.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
What the hell?
It's because they played Deadly Premonition and thought, fuck, this is actually a better game than the shit we're making. Let's make sure things dissolve, too.
And not just that you dissolve when you get shot, because like most of the time I just end up marrying them because you don't want to draw attention, and they dissolve when you hit them, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't get it. It's really weird. The other thing is, and I noticed it's survival horror, the game is really dark during this segment.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's hard to make out, like, the things, and I understand it's just, you know, fairly unknown, but it's just, like, at this point, the game's cheating, because I can't see anything, because everything's, like, covered in darkness.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, other than that, it's, you know, traditional Resident Evil.
Well, except that I think the controls are kind of terrible.
Yeah, I was about to say, and this gets to the point as when we go further along, is that at some point, I don't mind a Resident Evil 4 and 5 control scheme because the games are designed around it.
Yeah, neither do I. I think they're fine.
This is a game that isn't designed around the control schemes, but wants to keep the control schemes in the prior games. And it makes it a pain. Like, there's that one part in Leon's campaign when you get ambushed by a bunch of zombies in a hallway, which would be fine if they were slow moving, but they're speedy, and they're jumping through the windows. And this game doesn't really allow you to run and shoot.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't really stand still to shoot them, but you're being ambushed by these zombies.
Isn't that something they were supposed to fix?
You can move while shooting, but you're
not... Oh, is it just really slow? Oh,
shooting.
Right.
Slow.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, and it's a holdover from Resident Evil games past, which I think they should get rid of by now, is that in order for you to shoot, you have to do the aim and then shoot.
Oh, no.
Or in order to run and shoot, you have to press both of them at the same time.
Also, add to this hallway moment that the camera is absolutely terribly positioned, close to your character, and the funny thing is, it actually better while you're aiming, you actually see more from the screen when you're aiming, which is super weird, and when you don't aim, your character's so big that it's almost half of the screen, so in this narrow hallway, you don't see shit, and the camera gets hung up on geometry or enemies, all the time, as well.
Yeah, and the other thing, and this is, again, it's a minor point, is that the zombies apparently have evolved to the point where they carry weapons now as well. So, like, they have gas bottles, they'll have knives, they'll have axes.
Yep.
So, you're in this narrow thing, and you're kind of fighting the camera, you're fighting the controls. And then these people are, like, doing things that take out most of your health. I do like that they have a quick health button, what do they call it, your tablet?
Yeah, it's not health tablets, yeah.
Yeah, except that it's I've played it on the PS3. Just because I was a system
on both consoles.
And the thing that is like, it's the tablets are on right trigger, right R2.
Yeah.
So I'm like always going to shoot and I accidentally take them when I don't need to. And I'm like, that's an odd, but like I would rather they put the your partner button on R2 and then use the triangle or the top button on the X. What is that? Y. To have you take your tablets. I think it just makes more sense because I'm used to having the triggers and the shoulder buttons as action buttons.
There are some other odd things. Like I think the melee system is kind of weird because you now can melee all the time. Not like in Resident Evil 4 or 5, you basically stunned an enemy and then you got near them and you had to push, I think, X or... Square, I think, and then you could do like a very strong melee attack to get rid of the enemy. Most of the time, maybe even kill him. In this game, the stun thing exists, but mostly doesn't kill the enemy, and at least that's the feeling I got from playing demo twice. And or you can just melee all the time, because you have a stamina system consisting of, like, I don't know, is it 5 blocks, Earl? I'm not sure.
Oh, there's a stamina system?
There's a stamina system. I don't know if you noticed in the terrible UI, but under your health bar, there are other cubes, and that is your stamina.
See, I saw that. I thought that was regenerating health. I'm like, oh, cool, this game has...
That other thing is health. That's the stamina.
See, there's a part where you get in the car and there's a car crash, and then after you get out of the car crash, the thing fills up. I'm like, oh, that's my health. I didn't know it was regenerating. I'm like, oh, but that's just, I didn't even know that. I just may most of the time because...
I am not surprised, because a lot of people didn't notice before because the UI is so terrible that you don't know what everything means, and the UI changes depending on which character you play.
I was going to say, we should save that, because that's another thing that threw me for a
So, basically...
Oh, yeah, there's also quick time events now, too.
As long as you have the stamina bar, you can basically spam out melee attacks. And the thing I've basically found out is, as long as they're like, it's like one zombie, I thought, like, why should I even shoot them? I just go on here, spam melee, kill them.
Yeah, it's
death.
That brings up the other problem, and a lot of people have mentioned this as well. You can't headshot these things.
No, headshot doesn't kill them. Apparently.
Yeah, you can shoot. Like, you can throw off parts of their heads, but it won't kill them. They'll continue to walk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sounds
good. So it takes two or three headshots for you to actually kill something.
Yeah.
So at that point, it defeats the purpose, because if you have a group of them, it's not like you can pick them up by aiming perfectly good shots. It's just like, waste ammo until they're dead.
Yeah, at some point I was like, fuck it, I'll just point at the biggest part of them and spam.
Yeah, it seems to, I mean, it gives you about the same success rating. You don't have to line up a perfect shot to not do anything to him.
Yeah. Basically, all the skill you've built up during Resident Evil 4 and 5 is pointless.
Yeah, and that's Leon, and that's the good campaign.
Oh, wait. We could also mention that the animations look kind of terrible in a lot of places, I think. I don't know if people have seen the Conan bit where he's, like, doing the thumbs up, which looked really terrible, and there's a lot of other stuff that doesn't really look good, I think. It also just feels unpolished in general. There's this feeling like this could feel tighter when it comes to the controls. There's a significant slowdown I've seen when you get into bigger areas. Stuff like that. It just feels unpolished in general.
Which is kind of odd, being that I think the word is, what, it's a 600-man team or something like that. It's an insane amount of people working on it.
Yeah.
But I guess, like I was saying, this is the good campaign, and this is the problems we have with that.
Yeah.
Then you get to Chris's campaign, and this essentially plays like a poor man's Gears of War.
Yeah, but with a terrible cover system.
There's a cover system?
There's a cover system.
I was trying to figure out how the hell you did cover in this.
Dude, it's so complicated.
When
you get near a wall, you can press the aiming button to get to cover.
Oh, I did not even know that.
Anywhere. But if you want to get behind cover that is like waist high, you have to aim and then press X to get into cover.
I didn't even use the cover system, but
it's not really necessary.
No, it's not.
Oh.
And in this segment, you don't really fight zombies. It seems like you're fighting another military group.
Yeah.
So they're smarter and they're equipped with better weapons and stuff like that. Like, you start off, I think you're being gunned down by people in the tower. And the problem with this is that it doesn't really always make it clear who's the good guys and the bad guys.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just kind of aim my reticle on the person. If it turns red, I know I can shoot them.
Yep.
Other than that, but what really threw me for a loop is like, and this is what really made me think of Gears of War, is like halfway through this part of the demo, like a giant Brewmacker comes through.
Or basically it's the remake of that big guy from Resident Evil 4. What's the name of that guy again?
Isn't that like, oh, it's just like the giant.
The giant, yeah. It's kind of the same monster again.
Yeah, except you can actually kill him.
Yeah.
This one is like this huge giant creature that's like stampeding through town, and you're shooting him in the back, and you basically just kind of shoot him until the game decides that it's time to trigger a cutscene and you get rescued.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure if I'm shooting. I mean, it has this big pulsating thing on the back with basically says shoot me.
Oh no, there's times where it will have like the red diamond that says like aim here.
But it's not really giving real feedback on how.
No, for a thing, it's a lot more action packed. It's a lot more shooting. It has terrible gun. Like at points, I didn't even know I was shooting because it doesn't like anything reacts to it.
Yeah, and enemy reaction is kind of poor, so you don't really know. What's happening?
Yeah, it's really strange.
Also,
again,
design I thought was terrible. It's kind of just a corridor you run along. When you think about, people say like, oh man, Call of Duty is just this corridor shooter and there's all the shit going on. Imagine that, but poorly done.
Well, you can say that about it.
But there's not much going on. And the level design is just boring. I mean, it's just really just walls on the sides, and a few things where I can cover behind, but there's really not much going on. Yeah, just very poorly done.
And this is a huge, giant pet peeve of mine. But the fact that you face enemies who shoot at you, but you can't pick up their weapons when you kill them.
Oh no, they have to drop the ammo.
They don't drop, there's a part at the end when you have to like protect that guy when he's throwing up the tank or whatever. And then dudes just drop down with RPGs. So I'm like, oh, I'll kill the dudes with the RPGs and then shoot up the guys up top. No, they don't drop the RPGs for you to pick up.
No.
It dissolves with them when they die. Well, they actually don't dissolve. They kind of explode.
Yeah. They are supposed to have, a parasite that is like the parasites from Resident Evil 4 or 5, but a different parasite. So they mutate depending on where I shoot them.
Yeah, which is, and for the action point, there's a part where they make reference to the fact that their bullets don't hurt, like bullets aren't doing anything to them, but you can still shoot them up, so why make that point?
Yeah, that was weird.
And then the final segment, which oddly enough, I'm surprised, it should have been Sherry, because she's the recognizable character instead of this new guy, Jake.
Jake, the son of Oscar.
Yeah, and at some point I thought it was going to be like Resident Evil Nemesis as a part of the game, where like you're being chased by this huge creature throughout most of the game, and it kind of starts off that way, and then it's you in a warehouse running around in a circle shooting in explosive barrels.
The very weird thing for me was shooting barrels? Did you play the same demo as me? Did you play the first demo, not the second demo?
What's the second demo, then?
The second demo, you basically having, like, this, it kind of also is just a corridor shooter with lots of boxes lying around. It really is a parody of shooters.
I thought it was a subtle parody of the fact that there's one segment where he's, like, in the warehouse, and it's just explosive barrels, and you have to shoot it when the guy's near, and then it's like, okay, maybe this is just making reference to the fact that games overuse it. But you don't do it for like 10 minutes.
Because did you play the demo that was
released before?
Well, Dogma, did you maybe play that one? Was for the huge monster in the Jake demo?
Yeah.
Yeah, then you played the first demo.
Okay, well, what's this one like then?
Well, like I said, it's basically just a corridor you run along with Jerry. There are lots of boxes and you have to fight again these guys who have the parasite in them. But they get really annoying because sometimes you shoot them and then they just turn into some cocoon thing, and then your lizard thing at some random point just pops out of it, and it's super annoying. And it doesn't even seem like I can somehow destroy that cocoon. I was like, oh man, these things that spawn out of the cocoons are super annoying. Maybe I should just shoot the cocoon or hit it or with my knife or punch it or whatever, but no matter what I tried, impossible to do. So that was also really weird.
Yeah, the game does, and that reminds me of another, the game does that a lot, where like it's, you can only interact with things at certain points. Like, if you know a zombie's going to get up, you can't shoot it beforehand and kill it until it actually starts moving.
Oh, exactly. These scripts, jump scares are kind of terrible, but even worse is, I don't know if it wasn't your demo, because it's mine. It apparently implemented stumbling into the game. So, Leon, and there was zombies lying around, and you ran over their corpses, you stumbled.
Oh yeah, there's a part where you stumble, and it wakes up one of the zombies, and they draw to attack you or whatever, and I'm like,
stumbling happened my...
Yeah,
time.
I'm like, he's hopped over it. Why the hell is he stumbling like a drunk here? I thought you were going to talk about the fact that you can also be downed in a Chris's campaign and still shoot.
That you can do with everyone. You can actually get into that state. You aim and press X plus a direction and just...
I see, and this is one of those things that, again, it's like they show you the control scheme for like 5 seconds, and the control scheme is like every button on the controller, then like 16 combinations with those buttons.
And it's just super unintuitive.
So, yeah, again, I think some of it, again, would have been easier if they made some, if they kept some of the Resident Evil staples. Like, for instance, like, out of it, you can't, what is it, you can't manage your inventory in a pause screen. You actually manage it in real time.
Yeah, you can only pause the game if you're playing completely offline. That's also a thing that bothered me. I mean, with people that basically you can invite people, or you can leave your game open for anyone to join, but even anyone can pause the game. Which is also super annoying, because the menu, when you try to, basically, I forgot to invert my controls, so I want to invert the controls, and when you try to bring up this menu, you get this weird radial menu, which is just full of symbols, which don't mean anything to you, and you try to figure out what means, and how does the weird menu even works.
Well, that's so what you get for trying to invert your controls.
But yeah, it's one of those things that it's really odd that they, I mean, again, I understand why, but they could have it's like they want to make a modern game, they want to make an old Resident Evil game, and they didn't really know how to make any of them properly.
I mean, it's not hard. They could just look at Dead Space. I mean, they figured it out.
But I assume they're thinking, and I is that Resident Evil 5 is the best-selling game in the franchise, so there's an audience for that all-out zombie stuff. But, you know, they also want to still cater to that, which is why, again, you get three distinct campaigns, and we kind of hinted at this before, but we should go back. Is that not only that, but each campaign has a unique UI.
Yep.
And it's not even like, oh, it's, you know, it's like similar UI, so I can kind of see. No, like, Chris's UI is completely different. It focuses, again, on the shooting. Your health meter is completely different.
Yep. That's a very good way of confusing people very fast.
It is?
Yeah.
And this is it. It's somebody said, the best UIs are the one you don't notice. And if you're talking about the UI specifically, it means they've done something wrong.
Yeah.
Well, really okay. Wrong. One, there's no way not to notice that UI. It takes up like half of your screen. In the Leon campaign, it's like this huge box. In Chris's campaign, again, it's like you have like a gun, you have your ammo count, you have your health and stuff like that, and it's different color, it's a
like
different setup. Yeah, it's more vertical. The other one's horizontal.
I can understand subtle differences, because many games do that. Like Halo 2, for example, it turns your UI purple if you're playing on as the Arbiter. But you know, if it's completely different and you have to relearn the UI again, that's really bad.
It's completely different.
Like, locked for health, that are aligned vertically and horizontally. I mean, and Chris has like this vertical speedometer, which is his health.
It's not even like they tried. Like, I can understand if they like had the other UI and then had a focus on the weapons. It's like they, again, it's flipped. It's vertical instead of horizontal. This one focuses more on the weapons. Even your health is different, because in the Leon campaign, it's the traditional kind of like your heart meter.
Yeah.
But this one's kind of like a depleting meter that goes down.
Well, I can understand like different health mechanics, because obviously they're going for different kinds of playstyle. But still, like, you could at least sort of keep the UI similar and say, you know, when you're playing as Chris, this is how your health works, and you can see a slight difference in the UI to reflect that, but not a completely, oh, and now it's vertical up the side of the screen instead of along the top.
I also have to say that despite them trying to go for different play styles, I don't think Jake and Chris felt much different.
No.
Not at all. I think the only one that kind of differed was Leon. Mostly because of the level design, and not actually how he played.
Yeah, and it's because even though it still has this problem, it's less focused on all-out action, which is, like I said, a huge problem when these controls aren't really made for a shooter.
Yeah.
It's not the most intuitive setup, and we have better...
That's actually what I meant with Dead Space has figured out, because Dead Space has its all-out action moments, and they have tight controls.
It's really bad when you have to say, you know, Dead Space is doing this better. Dead Space is doing this better, because obviously Dead Space drew a lot of inspiration from Resident Evil in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the Uncharted Tomb Raider thing, where it's a lot of the new Tomb Raider is like, oh, this is inspired by Uncharted. And I mean, it's not a bad thing for you to be, you know, like for a competitor to come out and evolve your format. I mean, that's the whole point of the competition. The problem is like when you're trying to play catch up, but you're
and you're not doing it well, and you have to just say you're sitting here going, oh, yeah, but they do it better. They do it better. They're trying to do this, but what they do it much better.
Yeah, and the other thing that bothered me was that the games, I'm talking games, although it's just three campaigns, they don't have any sense of exploration in them anymore. You even get, like, this pointer, which says, like, go here, you have to go 60 more meters, or something like that.
Yeah.
There's no way of exploring the environment anymore. It's totally linear. And the funny thing is, someone told me that you can actually turn that off, but for that you have to turn off the whole UI. Stupid.
Wait, so it's a linear, isn't it, a very linear game, and it gives you waypoints every few feet? Is that what you're telling me?
Exactly.
Why, if you've got a linear game, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
I think the camera
is so terrible that you don't know where you're going half the time.
That's another
thing. Dear.
And I think the other thing is, like, it's kind of like the original Halo. The level design isn't that great where you can, like, tell, like, if something's there. So it's one of those, and sometimes you have to go backwards, like the on campaign, you know, it's a Resident Evil thing. You go to a door to door sock, you have to go find the key, you get the key, you have to go back out to find the other door.
Yeah, but then again, in basically Resident Evil 4 or 5, you always knew, like, oh man, now I found this. Probably I should go back there and now open that door.
Either that or, like, your partner will shout out that we should probably go check this out.
Yeah, I didn't need a fucking pointer to show me where to go.
Yeah,
man.
And we did it. I hear it gets better on, but there's also a lot of quick time events, and I don't like how they're done.
Nope.
Because you have like a meter, so in case, like, if you get attacked, a meter pops up, and you have to beat that meter with the action. But it starts before you even get to see the buttons at times.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know,
you use a lot of health.
Yeah, which really sucks.
Yeah. The other thing was, yeah, it's terrible QuickTime events. Well, my demo had this shitty, the Leon part had this shitty thing where you go into the police car and then have...
Oh, that was... I didn't get to... I assume that's QuickTime events, but I didn't get to play that because I was the partner. So I'm just, like, watching this play out, like, them looking for the keys and stuff. I'm like, this is boring. Like, I assume there's a lot more happening on the other person's screen.
That's... Exactly. I actually played... basically the PS3 demo from the main character's perspective and then the 360 demo from the second player. You have a good point there. During the whole event of Leon looking for the key and having to press these buttons to basically crash the car anyway, the second player just sits by his side and when you play him, you just look around.
Yeah.
Let's see how this goes.
Yeah. So I hope they balance it out a lot more in the main game, but who knows? I mean, I think that's enough for Resident Evil. Are you picking it up this week?
Absolutely not.
I know somebody in my house who's picking it up, so I'll know whether it's a good game or not because they'll either be cheering or screaming.
I mean, we have talked about it during the E3 thing that what we've seen was not very encouraging. Now that I played the newer demo, which I basically hated, I'm not going to pick up this game. And I even heard some professional reviewers already saying, like, guys, you should probably wait for the reviews. So that tells me that game is going to end up being very good.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, I don't know why they had it up, and I think they took it down, but Game Choice had a review up on Friday. I think it got, like, an 8.8, but that was taken down for whatever reason.
Yeah. But I also saw one review already having, like, a 6 or something.
It seems like some people have gotten the game early, and it seems to have some fairly positive impressions. It seems like it has a great ending, at least for one of the campaigns.
It also sounds like getting to that great ending is pure hell, so...
Yeah. I do want somebody I know who and whose opinion I trust to play through it to kind of give me an idea. Because I probably will still pick it up. but maybe when it's like $15.
I think maybe one of my friends might pick it up and then maybe I could borrow it or something, but I'm not going to spend any money on it.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's switch gears here to more positive news, because there was a good sequel that actually came out recently, and Daniel's been saying that.
Oh my god, this game!
So I have about 35 hours in Borderlands 2, right?
Jesus, you got me a bit.
I've had a lot of free time.
Well, it's also been like 2 weeks.
I'm only at 18. I need to get my shit together.
And I'm pretty much at the end of the game at the moment, as we speak. And at first I kind of had a weird reaction to it. It didn't feel right. I don't know. At first I kind of thought that there was like some sort of pureness about the original. But I don't know, all that's gone after about 35 hours. And basically every problem, except for one that was in the original Borderlands, is fixed and it is gone, and it is, the game is so much better for it. So the game has a really good story this time around, believe it or not. It's a generic sort of, oh my god, save the planet kind of thing, but the way it's told is much better, and it's funny where it's supposed to be funny, and it's serious where it's supposed to be serious. And I didn't expect to say this about a Borderlands game, but the way it tackles gender issues and homosexuality in video games is very good. Like, instead of making a big deal about it, and you know, unlike some games crafted by BioWare, where they say, you know, the character reminds you all the time that he's gay and he has a husband, they mention it once. You know, if you want to see your husband, you've got to do this for me, says the bad guy. And then he does, and obviously the guy does it because he wants to see his husband. And then it's not really mentioned again. They just, you know, it's a world where men love men and women love women, and that's it. That's all they need to say.
And everybody loves guns.
Yeah. And everybody loves guns. And with gender issues, there's a guy who's like, oh, you can't do that because you're a woman, and you end up blowing his house up. So the gun diversity is much better. You end up saying, the gun manufacturer is actually important this time around, because they have specific stats tied to them. So Torg weapons are always explosive. Jacob's weapons always fire as fast as you can pull the trigger. And because of it, you start looking for certain combinations. Like, I love Torg shotguns. Torg shotguns are the best thing ever, if you ask me.
I agree.
And a game that really does that, like, I love it when games do that sort of thing. I mean, I don't know of any other games that do that, but when you specifically look for specific things in guns, you can tell that they put a lot of thought into it. As I said, 35 hours and pretty much the end of the game, so you get a lot of bang for your buck. There's two playthroughs, there's DLC coming. Gearbox is known for good DLC. I don't know what else to say. The one thing that they didn't fix was the difficulty curve. You will still find times, if you're playing a single player, which I've done a lot of, where you just can't do a section and you have to sort of find a good sniper and stay back and start shooting from a distance.
Do a bunch of side quests. And
yeah, or do a bunch of side quests. And then
I find that was a problem I had with the original. Is that you're either really overpowered for an area or you're really underpowered for an area. There's very little in between.
There's not a lot of being overpowered. Just when underpowered.
I really
I found I'm overpowered 90% of the time, and then all of a sudden I get to one spot where I die 800 times, and then immediately after that I go back to one-shotting everything.
Yeah, I have a really same experience I had.
But I'm also doing every side quest and everything possible, so I think maybe I've just got too much experience.
We should maybe I can say something, because I already finished the game and I'm slightly less enthusiastic about the game than Daniel is, because I think I am like Chad. I have been trying to do all the side quests. And then, like, 3/4 through of the game, I was super bored. Because I think a lot of the side quests are not very good. They're kind of boring. A lot of the jokes don't hit as hard for me as they probably should. And I think most of the time it's just Claptrap that's funny and not a lot of the
really,
other characters.
Because a lot of people have the opposite.
I'll strangle that little fucker.
Yeah, I like
Claptrap. I'm sorry.
I know you're supposed to sort of hate him in a way, but I hate him more than you're supposed to. And obviously it is really to the detriment. I think also one problem I have with the dialogue is there is too much of it. They haven't put any effort into pacing the dialogue. So you'll be walking along and there'll be some funny quips being said to you and you'll be chuckling, and then a line of dialogue will start before the last one is finished, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm now listening to somebody else saying something else about, you know, something completely different, and it happens way too often.
I also think when I started back just doing the main quest, I think the game was fine again. But I think a lot of the side quest stuff is really just padding.
Isn't that what side quests are in general, though?
Well,
they can still be interesting, though.
Yeah, they can be,
but I mean, very few games... I don't want to say that, because then I think that's going to... But I do think a lot of games... I mean, there are reasons they're optional.
No, I've played games with better side quests. I'm sorry.
I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just saying in general, I find that a lot of side quests.
I mean, in The Witcher 2, I played a lot of side quests. I was really into those because they were good. Not that much here. Some of them are great, but some and a lot of them are just very boringly designed. Just. Some fetch quests. I mean, they could probably be a lot more creative with how they design quests. And I also think, Daniel, you said they fixed a lot of that the first game did wrong, like increase weapon variety, give you a bank right from the start, actually give you a trading system, stuff like that. But that's actually one of my problems. They basically just fixed Borderlands 1. And that's kind of already what they did with the first game.
But isn't that what a sequel is for? And this is the thing that I've gotten really annoyed at, is people are like, oh, yeah, but it's just more of the same. It's Borderlands 1, but they fixed it all. I'm like,
that's
what sequels are for.
See, I acknowledge that as well, but that's also all I ever wanted this game to be.
Yeah.
It's just more Borderlands, but better.
And for me, it's
probably not going to convince anybody that didn't like the first Borderlands, but if you don't like one Call of Duty, you're not going to like any of them. If you don't like one Halo, you're not going to like any of them. That's pretty much the same thing.
The thing is, I really like Borderlands 1, and I played a lot of it. And that's why when I come into Borderlands 2 and it's just the game fixed,
and
I mean, I enjoy it, but it's not the same deal as it was when the first one came out. I'm sorry. It's just not a big deal for me anymore. I've seen it. I've played it. It's just more.
And that I can agree with. Like, it's not a event or anything, but I think it's still, like, a fun, enjoyable diversion, even if it's not mind-blowing.
And don't say it's a bad game. I'm just saying I'm not as enthusiastic as some other people are about the game. I think it's good, but it's not great.
I mean, I think the first Borderlands was, I think it was a great game, but I think it would, you know, I still think it's one of the best games this generation, but it did have its share of problems. It was just made up by the fact that it was so much fun. And this is another question, I guess, since I haven't picked, is it a better game single player this time around?
Yes. The original, even the story quest in the original would just go here, grab that, come back. Whereas
and
there's a lot more
really
variety.
When I focused on the main story, it was really fun because I played the whole thing solo.
You know, there's a lot of variety. You get to see the old characters. They talk. They're funny. You know, got a good dynamic between them. You know, there's a lot of exposition. A lot of exposition that is really interesting, actually. And you know, especially between like Lilith and Roland and Hal Roland.
That was good stuff.
That's great. And just it comes back to there's too much dialogue, especially in the story quests.
Too much dialogue and not enough Tiny Tina and Hammerlock.
Yes, there needs to be more Tiny Tina. why is there only like 3 quests with Tiny Tina? I don't understand.
That's a good question.
So yeah, so I'm loving it. I'm probably not going to go through a playthrough again after I finish it, because I've done pretty much nothing else but play Borderlands 2, so I'm going to play something else for a little bit.
But there's 4 characters.
Oh yeah, I'll go back. Well, there's going to be 5 coming, yeah. 5 soon.
The thing is, I also I want to mention, I played 0, and halfway through, I didn't like that character very much, I have to say.
That seems to be the sort of general consensus, that 0 is really underpowered compared to everyone else.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't
noticed. Well, I'm only about halfway through, so maybe that changes, but right now, I'm not having any real problems.
Near the end, I have...
It's more to do with... Is that skill is just not useful?
Yeah.
I guess. I think like, you just have to be very... It's super situational, so you have to use it intelligently.
If, like, my attacking skill is similarly like concentrating on one person, but you can use it to affect enemies around them. Like, you can get them to suck them in, or you can cause explosions that harm them as well. You know, because I'm playing... My first playthrough is with Maya, and, you know, I'm really liking how she plays.
Yeah, I probably should have chosen any of the characters except 0. I mean, all of them seem to be more fun than 0.
Yeah, and the best thing about this game though is the sense of humor. They even take the piss out of the first game. They talk about how, you know, Lilith is talking to Roland, and she's saying that how she remembers Mordecai throwing Bloodwing out and then taking cover and then screaming at Bloodwing because he's not doing anything, and as soon as he comes out of cover, Bloodwing actually starts doing something, which is, if you've played Hunter in the first Borderlands, happened all the time.
Hmm. My favorite thing probably was how they played with the thing that players nowadays will just follow any direction.
Yes.
The game gives you when you encounter like this electrical fence, and Claptrap says to you, "You could probably just run fast through it." And then you try
and
electrify yourself, and then Claptrap says, "Maybe you're not fast enough." Then you do it again, and not fast enough. And basically, the solution is to just shoot at the generator to deactivate the thing. So,
well, I felt so stupid when he was just like, "You could just run through it," and I ran through it and I died. And I was like, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that."
Yeah. So they do some clever stuff with the gags, so that's pretty good.
Okay, I think that's it for Borderlands 2 and Resident Evil 6.
That's what I've got to say.
We also have Daniel here, who had a chance to go to Eurogamer, and hopefully check out actual games.
I did play some games.
What do you want to say, Martin?
I want to say I played one more game, which I really have to talk about.
Which is?
And that's Tokyo Jungle.
How was that?
Tokyo Jungle is amazing. It really is. I mean, it's kind of like... I mean, the basic premise is... You play an animal in Tokyo, humanity has vanished, you don't know why, and you basically have to survive. And what it is, it kind of is an action roguelike, which is kind of amazing. You start out as a Pomeranian, and you have to survive while, I don't know, lions and hippos and cows and what, I don't know what, is roaming around Tokyo. And you try to you can do like stealth kills when you are in the bushes, and you can like stealth kill dogs and eat them. So when you level up and you get stronger, and you have to do specific challenges so you can improve your stats, and then you have to find a mate, create a new generation because you can only survive 15 years. And if you find a good female, you have like not just one dog you play with, but 4. I think 4 is the maximum, I'm pretty sure. And well, you try to survive as long as you can and fulfill basically the challenges. I think 65 years is the maximum though. And you can unlock all kinds of different animals. You also can, you cannot just play carnivores. You can also just play a deer, for example. And then, of course, you still have combat abilities, but you're just not as strong, and you have to evade more, basically use the stealth aspect more, because you can actually sneak around and use bushes to as cover. So you basically have to evade all the more dangerous animals. And the thing is, at some point, even just playing the Pomeranian, at some point I was like, man, I feel so strong with my Pomeranian army. And then I thought, man, I could probably take down this cow, and that didn't really go well. Because Pomeranians, no matter how much you level them up, they're not strong enough to defeat a cow.
That's not something you hear often in a video game. No matter how much it can't defeat a cow.
And then later you can unlock basically a lion, and then already when you look at the animals, you can later on unlock a Velociraptor. For some reason, they're also running around. I won't get into the story, because there's actually a story reason for that. You can find memory ships, which actually unlock specific missions which then kind of tell the story of these different animals after humanity died or disappeared or whatever. And also pretty funny, because they're very obscure, and you also find like little snippets from newspapers and stuff like that, so maybe you can puzzle together what happened in Tokyo. So it's really good and very fun, a lot of content. And it's us, I think, in the US.
And very different.
It can already
Japanese.
Which is also kind of against it, because I assume Sony's not really advertising it.
I mean they're clever releasing it the way they have. I mean, in Japan it was a retail, full price retail title, and we are basically getting it for $15.
Oh, okay. Sony's had a really good year as far as like the downloadable service has gone, with that and Journey, and they've had, what is it, Sideways, I think, was out earlier this year.
So quick, great game. Oh.
Very different. People are always asking for new IPs and unique ideas, so there you go.
Always the same, this is for you.
Okay, now we can go back to Eurogamer, which I assume was fun-filled and exciting for Daniel.
More lines than an Etzer sketch, so I've
yeah,
heard.
Definitely. yeah, so the Wii U was there, but I avoided it like the plague because the lines were huge. Call of Duty Black Ops 2, which I avoided like the plague because it's Call of Duty and Black Ops 2. I did got to play a few games, though. I got to play Revengeance, which is a platinum title, so that's all I need to say about that. It is a platinum title, it plays like a platinum title, it's as good as you expect a platinum title to be. The controls are a bit weird to get used to, because they have this, like, you have your standard attacks, and then you have blade mode, which is, you hold L1, and then you have to use the left stick, I think it is, to slash, and the right stick to move the camera around. And it's a bit awkward to get used to at first, but once you get used to it, it's, you can really do some damage with it. And other than that, I mean, I didn't get too far, because I'm not very good at the game. I put it on easy, and I'm not very good at it. But it was what I played was fun, and it's a Platinum Games title, and if you know what a Platinum Games title is, you need to buy this game. And if you don't, go play Bayonetta and educate yourself.
Or Vanquish.
It basically is what you would imagine out of a Bayonetta cross to Vanquish. With a blade. There's not much I can say other than that. It's very good. It's Bayonetta cross with Vanquish, but without the guns. And I'm looking forward to it, actually. I might pick it up, but I don't have a console to play it on anymore, unfortunately.
Because the latest trailer had some stealth stuff.
I understand why stealth is needed as Metal Gear.
No, I'm not I don't think it's bad. I think it's kind of cool that they have at least some spells. So it's just asked if Daniel saw any of that.
I didn't see any of that.
Okay.
I would imagine stealth, and this is the same problem I've had with Dishonored, stealth is a very hard thing to actually demo well.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I can't imagine they would have put that in the Eurogamer thing, because you just probably, like I've seen a couple of people come back from Eurogamer with negative impressions on Dishonored as well, because again, action you can demo, and this is why E3 tends to have action-oriented stage demos, but stealth isn't something that's inherent. Stealth and horror aren't inherently something you can do in a trade show when you don't have the entire atmosphere and stuff like that. It's just kind of a, you have 5 minutes, get through as much as you can.
Other things we got to play were XCOM. Do not buy this game on a console. The controls are terrible. Simple as that.
Is this the
Enemy Unknown?
Okay, so that's the...
The strategy game, not the FPS game that seems to have vanished into oblivion.
Oh, strategy game on console has bad controls. No way.
The controls are terrible. Don't buy this game on a console. It's a very good game, just not on a console.
You're dumb.
Well, and sadly, most of the demos they had there were PCs with, so you could use a mouse or keyboard, but they also had Xbox 360 controllers. But sadly, XCOM was not one of them. So I couldn't actually enjoy the game without the controls getting in the way.
Played the PC demo and said the gamepad controls were way better. The mouse controls are super sluggish in the PC version.
Really?
So...
Yeah! They're terrible! The game.
Then that surprises me, because we're talking about Firaxis, and they make PC games, so...
It doesn't control well on the consoles, and the PC controls are bumped.
I think the gamepad controls are totally fine. I don't know what Daniel's talking
about. I don't like them. Well, like, they're really slow. They're really awkward. Like, it has to lock on to certain things. I'm like, I don't want you to lock on there. I want you to go here.
I disagree.
Oh, I was getting really frustrated with it. I got to play Warface, which is a free-to-play game by Crytek, and it is basically what happens if you were to take Call of Duty and slow it down to a crawl, and it's not very good. My team was getting spawn camped the entire time, and I wasn't enjoying that at all.
Is there like a level of parody going on here, or is the name Warface like actually earnest?
It is actually the game's name, and it tries to pass itself off as serious and tactical, and it's not very good.
I kind of hoped it was going to be like almost satire in a way, but I guess
yeah,
that's not
the
okay.
Name Warface, you would imagine that it would have to be.
Yeah, exactly.
FYI, no. The game already big hit in Russia.
Yeah, it's big in Russia, but it's not very good. No matter how long it's been out, or it's been developed for, it's not very good. Call of Duty sized maps and Call of Duty guns and Call of Duty mechanics don't work if you slow everybody down. And that's spawn camping. That's the worst thing, is we were getting destroyed and we had no chance because we were being spawn camped. I got to play the iOS version of Carmageddon, which I'm buying as soon as it comes out on Android, because it's Carmageddon. And I love Carmageddon. I really cannot remember what else I got to play. I got to play Dishonored. It's kind of... They had some stealth bits in there, and it kind of felt like a Deus Ex Skyrim mashup, which means the game is really not for me. What was there was really good, it's just not for me. It seems like they try and get you, like, they give you, like, way too many abilities. You've got this big wheel, and there's loads of abilities on it, and it's just like, I can see myself getting really swamped here with this game. So, other than that, there wasn't too much. Company of Heroes, if you're into RTSs, which I'm not, and you like the first Company of Heroes, then Company of Heroes 2 is bigger, better in every way. There's not much else to report, actually. It was a fairly... I don't think this year's Eurogame was as good as last year's.
Now, I'm kind of curious if it's because is the show's becoming too crowded, or if it's just because
it might have been that, because I did avoid a lot of places because of lines.
Okay, because the other thing I was going to ask is, like, it's also good. We did our fall preview show a couple of weeks ago, and it's actually a really kind of light holiday season for releases, and there's not a lot of new and exciting stuff. I mean, Dishonored is that big new IP, but other than that, it's pretty much sequels to games we kind of get on a yearly basis.
Yeah. So. And EA had the worst store, and I'm not saying that, just saying that because it was EA. It's the fact that it had, like, I don't understand why anybody, like, you had Battlefield 3 Premium, they're still trying to push that, and they had Medal of Honor right opposite, and it's like, I can't tell the difference between these two games. I really cannot, you know. There was Gears of War Judgment, and I don't even know if that game's a retail release or not. That's how not different it looks to Gears of War 3.
I actually haven't seen any gameplay of that. Does it not?
It looks exactly the same, and I'm not just saying that on a Call of Duty is exactly the same kind of rhetoric. I mean, it looks exactly the same as Gears of War 3. I really don't understand, like, how people can be excited. It looks exactly the same. I cannot tell whether this game is DLC or whether it's a separate release.
Well, it's a separate release, and I'm looking forward to it. Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. They're good games.
Halo 4, I sort of was spectating somebody playing, because I wasn't going to line up for it, and I don't know. I don't like the. It looks like they've just taken what Halo Reach is and what Call of Duty is and smashed the two together. And I'm not. I've said this many times before. I'm not a fan of it, and I'm probably not going to lose any sleep over not playing it.
You mentioned like Halo, and you mentioned. Were there any games that you actually just kind of watch people play it and?
I watched nobody play Wonderbook. The Wonderbook was fairly empty most of the time, which was quite funny. The guys and girls that were manning that booth, I kind of felt sorry for them because they looked really bored, and their faces kind of lit up when a kid came along to play it. I was watching people play PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, and they had it set up is they had four player local battles, and they had three Vitas and one person on PS3. So obviously, say, look, you can play this game on your Vita as well. You know, I don't think I can say anything about that game that hasn't been said already.
And we actually don't have this in news, but that has not had a good week this week, which is funny because it hasn't really been that high up to begin with, but this was just a really bad week for that game. I mean, granted, most of it was rumors, but it's still not the greatest type of hype that you want for a game that's supposed to be Sony's big marquee title for the holidays.
I was watching people play Hitman, and it looks really good. I mean, I can't attest to whether it stays true to Hitman or not, because I play Hitman. It looks really, really good. They removed a lot of the female grunting from Tomb Raider, which is good. And Tomb Raider looks like it's going to be really good. I think Square Enix probably had the best showing because of Hitman and Tomb Raider and. They had some other game, and I can't remember what it was.
I like that they're expanding, but it's really sad that they're such a Japanese company. Biggest
doing
game.
Better in the West, yeah.
Yeah.
Something that made me laugh was I wasn't allowed to film Doom 3 BFG, which is a 6-year-old game, pretty much. I was sort of using my phone, and I was standing behind somebody watching them play, or trying to, because it was in 3D, and one of the guys who worked for Bethesda came out and was like, you're not filming the screens, are you? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Which, and then I chuckled to myself, because, well, it's a 6-year-old game, and most people, well, a lot of people have played Doom 3 before.
Let me ask you something about that. Does it look any different? I remember the marketing for the game is like that they apparently improved the graphics in some way. Does it look some better?
It's not a Halo CE anniversary.
Yeah.
It looks like they've just done up the models, make them high detailed, and made things shiny where they should be, and made everything high res. Other than that, it looks exactly the same.
Which is probably still fine, but yeah. Okay.
But it's in 3D, if that matters to you.
No.
I'm not sure if Crysis 3 was there, and I looked at it and I was just like, I can't see any difference between this and Crysis 2. I had a lot of that. There was a lot of that. God of War Ascension, apart from the fact that there was multiplayer, I was like, this is God of War, I suppose. You know? Maybe it's just my cynicism. I'm not too sure.
We mentioned this before we started recording, is at this point in this generation, a lot of this stuff is kind of known hat. So it's like, yeah, it's just another Call of Duty, it's another Assassin's Creed, it's another Gears of War. And a lot of these franchises are from this generation, and the fact that we're on the fourth or fifth iterations of them in 6 or 7 years does kind of get old pretty fast.
It's just too much on this one generation. That's the problem.
Yeah, and you didn't get a chance to check out the Wii U, but you did say that there was excitement around it.
There was a lot of the biggest line of the show was Wii U by far, and
part of it is because it, like I said, this holiday season is a lot of known quantities. You kind of know what to expect from Halo. You kind of know what to expect from Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed, and stuff like that. The Wii U, and we've kind of had this discussion before. It doesn't really have an exciting lineup either. It's a new 2D Mario, it's a new Rayman, it's a new, you know, Assassin's Creed. It's the same deal, but it's just different in the fact that, oh, what can this tablet do now?
Yeah.
And this isn't something I don't think we've talked about, but I think that's actually one of Nintendo's biggest problems this holiday season, is that they don't really have a game of their own that's like, here's this new tablet that we have, and here's this great new idea that's going to, you know, be ignored for 5 years, but we're going to show you that it's a great idea anyhow. And it's like, where is that?
I guess Zombie U is selling it for them.
Which is great for them that Ubisoft actually steps up, and whoever believed you'd actually say that. But yeah, Zombie U, but even Zombie U is only using part of the idea in that the dual screen setup and how you can kind of use it to enhance the atmosphere of the game. I think the problem with the tablet controller, and we'll just kind of get off this because we've had our Wii U discussion before, is that it's a jack of all trades in that it does a lot of stuff, but it's not necessarily something that you can do. You can use all of it for one game, so it's really hard to have that one game that says, hey, listen, this is why this is important, and be like, okay, you know what, this works, and I understand it completely now. It's like, oh, off-screen play is kind of cool, but if I want to use the tablet in any fancy ways, I can't do that, because then you have to somehow relegate that functionality to something while you're doing it.
Mm.
Anyhow, anything else that you saw that you were excited about?
This isn't really excitement, but it's just something that I took note of. When it comes to booth babes, the games industry is not going anywhere fast. Not at all. We had, you know what a QR code is, right?
Yeah.
They had booth babes, you know, really short shorts, you know, and they had the QR codes on their asses.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And it's not like it was just one company doing it. It was two.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Stay classy.
Well, Saturday has never been the video game industry's finest point.
But,
and there were leathered-up nuns walking around. There were leathered-up nuns walking around, and I just sat there and I thought, you know, I hope you're not being paid by Square Enix, of all people, because, you know, after that Hitman trailer, and it turned out I think they were with Capcom for Resi 5.
Oh, that makes sense. Capcom has really just had a terrible PR year.
Maybe I can add something for the Eurogamer thing. I wasn't there, but earlier today, the guys who made the Oddworld series had like this developer thing where they talked about the games, and there they basically re-announced the Oddworld Apes Odyssey HD, which now is named Oddworld Apes Odyssey New and Tasty. And it's coming out end of next year.
Wait, it's taken 2 years to do an HD port?
Moment. One moment.
Well, no, they're not. They're completely remaking the game.
Exactly. They're completely redoing the game. It's not like they can actually make HD assets for this 2D game. And basically, they have built their own engine and they are making a complete remake of the old game. And it's coming out for PS3, Vita, PC, and XBLA.
That is an odd combination.
That's if the Vita is still around.
But it looks really cool from the short gameplay they've shown.
I was going to say, though, at that point, why not just make a sequel?
I don't know. I will probably still play it. Apes Odyssey was cool.
I thought that hasty releases were just what it did because they did the Stranger's Wrath HD, so you know, it's just maybe it's just their bread and butter.
They talk
not
about
that we have enough because you know
they still want to finish the Quintology at some point, so there's probably coming a new game further down the line.
Who knows?
Maybe a free-to-play Facebook game. You watch.
That wouldn't be so bad, but we're not cut this short. We're just gonna move on because we are over an hour. We still have news to cover, so we're gonna try to speed through that. And I mean, there's really no place to start other than with BioWare, who's been the talk of the town this week for several reasons. First off, is that Dragon Age 3 was announced. Is it called Inquisition?
Yeah.
And reactions to that were all, people were so excited because Dragon Age 2 was one of the greatest
games. Yeah, there were loads of people that were like, yeah, we want more of this, BioWare. Make us more Dragon Age 2.
And this is one of the few times where it seems like Daniel's hatred of EA seems... Because it seems like BioWare has really kind of
Now, I swear to God, this is not related to EA. I really do think that BioWare is a really overrated company.
I do too, but we're not getting into that. I especially with Jason here, because he's probably the best person to defend them. But I think they make good games. I think the games just kind of
Definitely. I'm not saying they haven't made good games at all, because they have. I loved Mass Effect 2 and Knights of the Republic, but I just think that people hold them to higher regard to which they should be.
Yeah.
I do, because I played Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2. My standards are even higher.
And how long ago were those games?
A long time ago.
You have to remember that the BioWare of now is not the BioWare of Baldur's Gate era.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's... maybe that's the thing. I think they were a great company, but it seems like once they started partnering up with EA, a lot of it has kind of been... That just trying to kind of hit that mass market appeal. Like, I mean, we've had this discussion with Mass Effect 2, and kind of, it's like at some point Mass Effect 2 went from a Western RPG to basically being a third-person shooter with RPG elements.
Yeah, kind of.
And it seems like Dragon Age kind of followed that same path where people just hated 2 because of how simple it became.
It's the epitome of press A to be awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, people are kind of up in arms about Dragon Age 3, but, you know, we haven't seen anything about it, so you always give them the benefit of the doubt. They are still a company capable of making good games.
They have not been doing them for a while.
and it won't help that the two founders actually left the company this past week. I think one has left the gaming industry in general, and the other one is undecided.
No, they both left.
They both left BioWare, but one of them has left gaming in general. I thought the other one was undecided if he was still staying.
He also left gaming. He's doing beer stuff. What? Really? He's doing...
No, like, I know. I know you're...
Just the way you said it.
I went from making video games to making beer.
Beer stuff.
It's gone up and I've improved. But yeah, I mean, you know, no company is any two members. I think sometimes people get lost in the shuffle with that, but they were kind of the, you know, they started BioWare, and we've seen what happened with Rare when they found this after company.
Yeah,
so,
let's be honest, the doctors were not really the creative guys at BioWare, at least not anymore.
No.
At this point, they were business guys.
Yeah, and that happens a lot of times. I think, again, we kind of end up with these... It's the same thing with, like, not Peter Molyneux, so that's the Warren Spector, or Akira Miyamoto, where they're like, the face of the company, but they actually don't do a lot of the work.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, we know these people, so we just throw them out there to do interviews because people know them and relate to them. So yeah, there's that. And finally, and this is a great announcement from the brain trust at EA, they announced Mass Effect Trilogy for release November 6th, I believe, so about a month from now. And it will include Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 on the 360 PC, and for the first time, Mass Effect 1 comes to the PS3.
And you do all that even before Mass Effect 3 for the Wii U is released.
I'm really bummed that this does not contain all the DLC for all of the games. I would buy it if it did.
That's also weird.
It's EA. I just want to say my piece. I personally speaking, I've always thought that Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U was a stupid idea.
I don't think you're alone with that, Earl.
I'm sure most, because it's not like Assassin's Creed 3 makes sense because it's the start of a new story.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 3 is the conclusion of a trilogy that is very dependent on the prior games because decisions and actions carry over from that. At worst, I expected that the Wii U would have gotten a Mass Effect trilogy, not like this, but like the comic book Mass Effect that Mass Effect 2 on the PS3 came with, and then Mass Effect 2 and 3 ported over. To put just Mass Effect 3 on this system with no other stories around it was a bad decision. But EA went ahead and
did it anyway
themselves by making Mass Effect Trilogy, a game that they quote unquote want to sell to a people who have never experienced Mass Effect on systems that already have Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, and releasing it before Mass Effect 3 comes out on the Wii U.
So basically, they want you to buy the trilogy and then buy the third game for the Wii U again. I guess that's how you catch up.
I don't want, you know, there are other decisions, like, there are other factors that go into this, but it's the same thing where people say that Nintendo fans never support third parties. It's because they end up making decisions like this at times. Like, I mean, I wouldn't have bought a Mass Effect trilogy on the Wii U, because I own Mass Effect 1 and 2 on the 360 already.
But there were probably plenty of people that would have bought Mass Effect trilogy on the Wii U, because, oh, this, people have been talking about for a long time, it's the first time that I've got to play this, so let's do it.
Yeah, because based on simple math, there's a greater percentage of a chance that people who own a Wii, who are moving over to a Wii U, haven't paid Mass Effect, any of them, compared to people who own a 360, a PC, or a PS3. If you haven't had any, if you haven't got into Mass Effect after 3 games in 5 years, I really doubt this trilogy is going to be the thing that pushes you over the edge, finally. So I expect it will sell. There is an audience for it, but I don't expect it to sell well, and I don't know why.
And by the way, what's the pricing for a trilogy? Is it just $60?
I think it's actually cheaper than the Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U.
That's why I'm asking.
I believe it's...
It's $60 for the...
In America, I think it's $60 a piece. I think in Europe, it's like $60 for the Wii U version and like $50 for the trilogy.
Wow, we could get ripped.
Yeah, and then it's going to turn out, and you'll see this, and, you know, it is what it is. It'll turn out a couple of months from now, but EA's like, you know, Mass Effect 3 underperformed on the Wii U, so we might not bring out other games to the platform because there's not an audience for that. Instead of the people who had an option to pick up Mass Effect Trilogy, which is all 3 games,
yeah,
for cheaper, not even 2 weeks, because Mass Effect 3 isn't making the launch for the Wii U. So it's
That would mean that the suits at EA would have to apply logic, and that doesn't work.
And this is the same idea behind Konami porting Metal Gear Solid 3 to the 3DS after they announced Metal Gear Solid HD collection on the PS360 and Vita. Like, at some point, you're going to have to say, like, why would I pay $40 for a single game when I could pay $40 to get four of the games that I want? That includes the one game I would have paid $40 for.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those really, and I'm not saying there's a disdain for Nintendo owners or Wii U people. It's just a really bad business decision.
And I think the fact that the trilogy doesn't come with all the DLC also ruins it, because there's a lot of there's important stuff in that DLC.
At least I would have expected the DLC for 1 and 2 to be included.
Yeah, things like Lair of the Shadow Broker and stuff.
I was going to say that's the other thing, and I mean, it's a minor thing. Is that I understand that it's a trilogy, but it's basically just like, oh, here's Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. I thought they would have included a DLC, because some of the DLC does bridge the story events, so you just kind of put them on the disc, and it's like, here, you can continue the entire story all at once.
Yeah.
But again, it's EA. They want to resell you the product. I honestly don't know what's the point of this, but I'm not EA, so.
And in more exciting EA news.
And more exciting EA news.
Oh boy, this is a great one.
This is, at this point, they might as well not try anymore. NBA Live 13 was canceled
again.
Again.
When was the last NBA Live game that really released?
I want to say 10.
No,
it was
11,
10.
Right?
No, 11 was a heat, wasn't it? That was when they rebranded it.
I'm not sure right now.
I think 11 got canceled and then uncanceled and then
canceled again the other day.
Okay, the last game they released was in 09, because in 2010 they were going to release NBA Live, and that was going to come with a free copy of NBA Jam. But they canceled it because of a crappy demo, and then they made NBA Jam an XBLA a PSN game. Then they came back last year and they rebranded it to NBA Elite, and I believe that got canceled as well.
Yeah, that didn't come out. NBA Elite 11 was announced. They attempted to rebrand, and the game was met with bad publicity and development problems, and was thus canceled. Apparently.
Yeah. And then they said, "We take our time. Do NBA Live 13, and then and that's now what got cancelled again."
But before, just fill in the gap, it was like they put it in, and then I think it was over the summer, I don't remember when exactly, it came out that this game was going to be a downloadable title.
Oh, yeah.
Chill title. And then it got outright cancelled.
Yeah. And the best thing is about this, they said after Elite, "We are going to take these 2 years and we are going to make a great NBA title." And later it came out that actually the development for NBA Live 13 started last fall.
Jesus Christ.
So they had a year to build a new basketball game from the ground up with a team that had no experience building a basketball game, because this one was developed at Tiburon, who do the Madden games.
Yes. Which is a huge...
Yeah, here's an idea. Just give up.
I don't think they're going to give up, but it's kind of funny to see what happens to EA when they have to.
They're just throwing money into a fire at this point.
Yeah, I think what they should do is that they scrap development, you've wasted enough time, and you just kind of focus on getting it up and running for next gen.
At least they could use the license and, the NBA license and do, like, a new NBA Street or something.
Yeah, but the Street had, the arcade ones had a weird rule as well, because I think you couldn't, I don't know if that changed, but I think you couldn't do consecutive years, so you'd have to do, like, a Street this year, and then you couldn't do one next year, and then you'd have, but they could also alternate that with doing NBA Jam.
Yeah.
You can have, like, Streets as your retail title and then NBA Jam every 2 years as like a digital title, and I think that would help. I mean, you don't have to do, I understand that arcade sports games probably don't sell as well as the Sims, but at this point you've wasted 3 years trying to get a Sim
and
up
not
and
to
running.
Mention is you don't have to put as much money into the arcade titles.
Yeah, so especially if you're giving them away for free, so there's that. So yeah, not a good week for that, well, not a good year for that game. We have, two more announcements to go. This is actually from the Tokyo Game Show, which we didn't get a chance to talk about last week. Not that there was actually anything to talk about. But but Sony did announce the PlayStation. I don't even know what they officially call this.
They didn't give it a name at Eurogamer either. It was just there, and it's just like, oh, okay.
it's the new PS3.
Yeah, the new PS3. They're doing an Apple and just saying it's the new PS3.
The PS3 supermodel.
I think some people call it the Super Sim, the Sim, or the Sim Shady model. Whatever, it's a Simmer PS3.
I like Slim Shady model, that's pretty good.
it's a Simmer PS3 because that's the reason the system wasn't selling, I guess. And what they did is
they haven't lowered the price, which is ridiculous.
No, they didn't lower the price, they actually jacked it up.
That's just insane. It's not going to be a purchase for anybody who wanted, anybody who was on the fence about buying a PS3 is not going to buy one just because they've jacked the price up and released a new model.
But don't they put in like pickings? Like, don't you get Uncharted 3 with it or something?
I think you do, but I think that it's really weird how they're doing it.
Yeah, but you know what most people do is they put pack-ins and lower the price.
No, because it's like people are going to look at it and say, shit, it got more expensive. I guess it's better now.
Well,
and then they'll buy it.
Here's the thing. It's like
I think there are going to be more people that would buy it because it went down than people that buy it because it's supposedly better. Because of the price
he's being facetious. He's just being snarky. I was going to say the thing is they came out and said that the reason they didn't know the price is that people get confused with price drops in various models. So instead they're yes, that was one of the things they said.
What? So lower the price across the board.
This is coming from Sony. Just to be clear.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to buy because it's so cheap.
So instead of that, they actually raised the price on the base model.
Oh my god.
I don't think this is in the States, but in Europe they're releasing a 12 gig model.
Yeah. And which is 12? Totally retarded because just imagine some games have like a 7 gig mandatory install.
Yeah.
One game on it.
DC Universe Online itself is like 20 gigs.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the thing with the 12 gigs is you would think they introduce a 12 gig model as like the alternative, but it's like 230.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's like, oh, for like $40 more, I can get a 250 gig hard drive.
Yep.
Why would you go for the 12 gig hard drive?
With the 250, you get the game as well, right?
Yeah, you get Uncharted 3.
Yeah, so I don't get it.
And this is more confusing than just saying, like, here's a $50 price drop across the board.
And the worst thing is, it's like, the new PS3 just looks worse.
It's terrible.
It's a really ugly system.
It's really ugly. It's top-loading, and the thing slides out. Who designed this?
Cheap. I mean, the worst thing is the top-loader, it slides over, and even when you close it, it has this weird gap. It looks just cheap.
Yeah, and the other thing is, and this is, I mean, granted, they kind of have a pass because Microsoft hasn't known what the price either, Nintendo. It's going to be constrained by just releasing a new system. They do not have the holiday lineup to invigorate an audience this holiday season. They have, Little Big Planet Garden, and they have PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, and I think that's it for
Wonder
a major...
They have Wonderbook.
Oh, and Wonderbook. And Wonderbook.
And this is it, and Microsoft, they don't have a new system, but they've got Halo 4. They don't need one.
And that's the thing. It's like, if I was Sony, I would have smelled blood in the water and went for the kill. Like,
yep.
You drop it down to 200, you make it mass one. And, you know, they already have a decent lineup of, like, say, what is it? Greatest Hits? What are they called? Greatest Hits?
Depending on region, it's Greatest Hits or Platinum Games.
So, yeah.
In Europe, it's Platinum. In US, it's Greatest Hits.
So they have like $20-$30 games, and they have at this point, it's really hard to say that the 360 is a better value for your money if you base it solely on the game library, because, I mean, outside of Halo and Gears, the 360 doesn't really have many exclusive retail franchises. And you don't have to pay for...
It's not big ones.
Not big ones, and you don't have to pay for online.
Yeah.
So Sony has the lineup. They have, you know, they have Uncharted, they have Ratchet, they have all these things. And if you had done that, like, you push out a new advertisement campaign and you say, this is, you know, $200 gets you all these amazing games. That's a lot more than saying here's $270 and you can get one of the book.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your kids love those books so much they wanted to pay where the magic wand is. So yeah, I honestly don't know what anybody's doing this holiday season, aside from Nintendo, who's launching a system and still are.
And not much else.
Because the 3DS is also in bad shape this holiday season.
Well, the only thing we can say about the new Sony system is that what already a lot of other people have said is that supposedly it is the new system on which they can lower the price in the future. Because, like Daniel said, it's a top loader which saves money. It's way more plasticky and stuff like that. They can probably save a lot of money on that system in the future.
See, I can kind of see that, but it really would have helped if you had lowered the price with it. I think that's one of the reasons.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that they probably think they can get away with it this year.
Yeah. And it's possible, but what happens is what you should have done is you lower the price and you release this new model, and some people are going to be stupid enough to think that, oh, this is a new PS3.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just a rebrand, it's like a new PS3 because it's smaller, it's cheaper, it must be different. Yes, and some people think that way, and it works. This is just like, oh, it's a new model which kind of looks ugly, and it's more expensive, but I get Uncharted 3 in case I don't own it already.
Which, again, and if you own it already, why the fuck are you buying a PS3?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to the same thing with the Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U. Is like, why start people at the end? Why not have like an Uncharted trilogy bundle?
Or at least Uncharted 2, which is the best in the series.
Well, I think Uncharted 2.
I mean, there is an Uncharted trilogy bundle.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There is. I mean, like a bundle with the system.
Yeah, I know, but there actually exists a bundle with all three games. You're right. Why don't put that in there?
Yeah, it makes more. I mean, it's not like they're about the same price as the Uncharted 3 game. It's like $30, $40. You've made your money on the games already, so it makes sense to kind of, you know, it's one.
Well, Uncharted, Sony can lost lead.
Yeah, it's been like 4 or 5 years. If you haven't made your money back, I really doubt you're going to make it.
Uncharted is number one selling on PS3, so... Yeah.
So, yeah. There you go.
Sony, you're stupid. Fix it.
But, like I said, it's not just Sony. I don't know what Microsoft is. Well, Microsoft is like, we have Halo. We're good to go for the year. And Nintendo, you know, we're launching a system. We're good to go for the year as well.
Well, Nintendo is probably good to go for the year if you look at the pre-order stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a launch. It's hitting at the right time. I just mean that like it's been 2 weeks, but they're kind of going back to that radio silence of the system again, where you would think they would kind of be like, okay, you know what, we kind of gave you the price. Well, I guess that's not fair because they did give us the release, the launch day lineup this week as well.
Also,
which
today I heard about the possibility of the achievement system. One developer of some indie game mentioned achievements for the Wii U title.
I think we know that it has achievements. It's accomplishments, they're calling it like the 3DS. I think what we don't know if it's a system wide thing.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see.
Well, if Nintendo know what's right for them anyway, they will at least make it so they can put them in retroactively, Sony did.
I think Nintendo. We'll see again. And actually, you reminded me since we actually don't have it in the show notes. They did come up with the launch lineup for the system this week, and it's actually a fairly solid launch lineup.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the best. It's the best of this current this crop of systems within like the last decade or so. The problem is, as most people would probably point out, is like a lot of these games you can kind of already get: Ninja Gaiden, Call of Duty, FIFA, Skylanders. Tekken.
That being said, I couldn't see myself picking up Assassin's Creed and maybe even Black Ops 2 on the Wii U, just because it might end up being the best version.
If it ends up being the best version.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing, is like we still don't really know for a lot of these games.
Yeah. It will be very interesting to see if the multi-platform title really end up being, looking better or running more stable, with better frame rate on that thing. I know I'm going to pick up Assassin's Creed on the Wii U instead of the PS3.
Yeah, but you could get the PS3 and it attaches to Liberation.
Great.
Hit at Radio Science. And another thing
are you suggesting that somebody actually owns a PlayStation Vita, or?
The people
think
do.
He did.
There's like 2 million people. And this is the other thing that wasn't on the show notes, but I'm thinking of it really quickly. Is that Ubisoft announced the Ezio trilogy, which is Assassin's Creed 2 Revelations and Brotherhood, out sometime this month as well.
Why would you buy the middle sect of a sort of?
Well, it's because Ezio. It's got. I was gonna say if they were nice, they would have called it Assassin's Creed 2 trilogy.
Yeah, because like, why would you buy the middle three games of a quintilogy? It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it makes even less sense than Mass Effect 3.
Gonna say to you, if they put in the first game, and the people who would start playing the first game will not play the other ones.
Well, I was about to say, it's also that, as you know, as those three are it is a story. It's the story of one character.
Yeah, so I suppose
it makes sense to bundle them together. But it's just really weird that the second game had its own trilogy. Well, I guess the second French. I don't even know what you call it. And finally, I hope, and then we can start to wrap. Nintendo, they really should work on this with the Nintendo Directs, announced the new Super Mario Bros. 2 DLC. They announced three different packs, I believe. Each one has three evos, and it's $2 a pack. It's themed. It's for Coin Rush, which is that bonus mode in the game. Like, one's extremely hard mode. Like, there's one stage where you're just kind of running and trying to jump on bullet bills. There's, like, a Coin Rush mode, which is one where you can get, like, 30,000 coins in one run. And then there's just, like, a Bowser thing. It's Nintendo doing DLC.
It sounds like they're doing it right.
It seems fairly priced. $2 isn't a lot. I mean, I understand that for some people, three stages is. But I think $2 is at that point where they're like, oh, you know what? I can buy it if I want it.
It's a coffee.
Yeah. And it's a mode that you don't necessarily need to buy it for. It's just if you want more content.
Yeah.
I mean, I still need to pick up that game at some point.
At least at this point, I think Nintendo is doing pretty all right with the DLC stuff. We have heard about the DLC... from... Why does the name escape me now?
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem, right. The Fire Emblem DLC in Japan. That also isn't priced very high, and at the beginning we even got it for free.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how that works when they bring... Like, do you put all that DLC on the disc when it comes out in America? Or do you, like, hold it out and use it as DLC and say, yeah, it was originally DLC? And I think that's going to be a problem with Nintendo because they aren't necessarily a global company when it comes to release dates.
At least not with every game.
Well, they're major games, yeah. I can see Animal Crossing having DLC as well.
Yeah.
And that's a game that's fairly decent turnaround. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I imagine that it won't do that well. I mean, it's Mario, but I feel like most people will probably be like, I've had Mario enough, I don't need to get extra stages.
Probably.
I don't. If it's New Super Mario Bros. U and it's like actual stages, I would look into it. But it probably, whatever. I don't think there's any major show. I think we're actually done with shows until VGAs in December. So it's going to be a very quiet time for news for the most part. But we shall have a lot of game impressions like we did today because we're hitting the holiday rush. Our Resident Evil 6 is out this week. I believe Pokemon Black White 2 are out next Sunday. And then it's pretty much an onslaught for the next month and a half.
And then I'm looking
crap,
forward...
Oh, crap, I forgot about Black and White 2. Oh, my God.
And then I'm looking forward to the probably Wii U only show at some point.
If any of us actually get that launch... Well, actually, you're getting it at launch. I'm still undecided, but I'm probably...
I'm getting it at launch. I'm not decided.
Okay, I'm probably leaning towards not getting it at launch. But we shall see. Maybe it'll do something to convince me within the next 6 weeks. I mean, granted, I haven't pre-ordered, so at this rate, I probably can't find one either.
So. I have no plans to get one at all. So,
same.
So we'll find other people to replace you folks.
Fine. Do it, but if you can find someone to replace the irreplaceable. Right ahead.
I'm sure we can find somebody who's quiet and chimes in with a snarky comment every 5 minutes.
Perhaps. Will they look as good as me when they do it?
I don't know. It's a podcast. It's an audio-only podcast.
Exactly. So I exist in the listeners' heads. They know.
So that means anybody can be sexy to them.
Yeah, but not everybody is. It's just me.
Anyhow, yeah, we'll be back next week. I don't know if we'll be back with any more Resident Evil 6 since nobody's picking it up.
If I was planning to before, I'm sure as hell not now.
I'm picking up, even though it's months old, I'm picking up Azura's Wrath this week because it was $16 and I really want to play that game. So I'm giving Capcom some of my money. So there's that. So yeah, you can find us on Twitter, even though that feed actually doesn't get updated at all anymore. You know, Facebook, iTunes, and all that fun jazz, all those things will be in the show notes. So for Daniel, Chad, Martin, and myself, this has been Dual Worlds in episode 83.
At the beginning of the 21st century, the Umbrella Corporation had become the largest commercial entity in the United States. 9 out of every 10 homes contain its products. Its political and financial influence is felt everywhere. In public, it is the world's leading supplier of computer technology, medical products, and healthcare. Unknown even to its own employees, its massive profits are generated by military technology, genetic experimentation, and viral weaponry. Thank you.